You are listening to Reverend Dr. Rob White from Athens Universal Life Church.
Let's open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come today opening your word again. We've got a special day coming up here that we're celebrating. We celebrate once a year, although we should celebrate it every day of the year, as we come together to honor veterans. And we just ask, Lord, that you'll be with us today as your message reflects the honoring of veterans, and that you'll help us to understand maybe even more the reasons to honor veterans and the reasons that you chose to honor veterans in our message today. We just ask that you'll be with us today and open our minds to what you want us to see, and let us hear your voice. Let us shine your glory down on us and share your presence with us. We ask this in your Son Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now this week, we celebrate a holiday. Now, it's a special holiday, and it's not Thanksgiving, but even though we do give thanks on this day, and it's not Independence Day because we do celebrate freedom on this day, and it's not Valentine's Day, although it's a day to think about love. Now this holiday that we celebrate is called Veterans Day. This holiday is celebrated in many countries around the world and in different ways. In some countries, it's called Armistice Day. In other countries, it's called Remembrance Day. And no matter what you call it, it's a day on which we honor men and women who have served in the military. We also honor those who died because of fending for our freedom. It's a time for us to say thank you for all those sacrifices that they have made. It's a time to think about the freedoms that we enjoy because they were willing to serve. It's a time to think about love because it's the love that they showed for their country and for their fellow man. Now, Webster's Dictionary says that a veteran is a noun. It's a person who has had a long service or experience in an occupation or office, like the veteran of a police force. It's a person who has served in a military force, especially during a war. It's a soldier having served in a military force during a war. And it's someone who's experienced a long service of practice, like a veteran member of Congress. And this all pertains to veterans. Now tomorrow, our nation honors men and women who have served in our country. Even today, veterans come home each and every day from serving overseas, and they have scars and they have injuries, and some of them have a very hard time. There are veterans today that have served not only in Vietnam, Korea, the World Wars, that in Desert Storm in Iraq. They come home and they're homeless because they have nowhere to go. We should take time to honor the families who stood by, the husbands, the wives, the sons, daughters, as they made the greatest sacrifice for our country. Now, many of you probably don't know what it's like to get into a line, sign a piece of paper that could be possibly ending your life. Now, we all have probably, I don't know, how many has anyone in here served in the military? But I'll bet you've got family members that did, right? Yeah. It's not a fun process when you walk into the processing station and it's cold, dark, hot hallways, and it's, you know, you don't know what's at the end of that hallway. But you end up signing a piece of paper, signing your life away, basically saying that you'll go wherever Uncle Sam wants you to go, and you'll fight even to the death. It's like some people, when they get processed through, they end up sleeping in a squeaky bed, and that hundreds of others probably before them have slept in. You never know if you're coming home again or if this is the last day of your life. But people do this every single day because they are honored to serve. They have what's called the faith of a soldier. It's a great faith. Just like faith in anything, when a soldier signs up to be a soldier, they're taking it on faith that they're going to get the proper training, they're going to give the proper orders, or they're going to get the proper orders, and they're going to make it through this. But they also know they may not. We don't know, some of us, what it's like to step on a plane, knowing if you'll ever be back again, if this is your last plane ride, or, well, this is the last time you'll see your family. It takes the faith of a soldier, a great faith. So how do we celebrate Veterans Day? Well, some people celebrate it like any other holiday. They go to the mall and they go shopping. That's a great way to celebrate. I would suggest there's a few other ways that we could celebrate Veterans Day and make it the important holiday it really is. You can fly a flag in your yard to remind others that this is a day to honor those who've served. You can spend some time in prayer, giving thanks to God for those who served to give us the freedom to do what we're doing here right now. Observe 2 minutes of silence, concentrating on those who have died defending the cause of freedom. You can wear a poppy. Everyone, the little poppy flower. A poppy is a red flower which is worn in remembrance of those who died for the country. The poppy was chosen because of a poem called In Flanders Fields, written by John McCrae, honoring the soldiers who died in the fields of Flanders, France, during the First World War. It goes something like this. In Flanders Fields, the poppies blow between the crosses, row and row, that mark our place, and in the sky that larks still bravely singing fly, scarce heard amid the guns below. That's only part of it. But Veterans Day is a holiday that we take very seriously. Now, some people don't, but veterans do. Veterans take this day very seriously. And it doesn't mean that it's a time to mope around and be sad, but it's a happy occasion for most veterans because they're remembering the people that they fought with that did not come home. We can be happy, be ourselves, because of the sacrifice that these men and women have made and that give us the freedoms that we enjoy. We can also be happy, even though many of those soldiers died in battle. This is not the end of their story, the day that they died, because their story still goes on. Someone once wrote, "It is the veteran, not the preacher, who has given us freedom of religion. It's the veteran, not the reporter, that's given us freedom of press. It's the veteran, not the poet, that's given us freedom of speech. It's the veteran, not the campus organizer, that gives us the freedom to assemble. It's the veteran, not the lawyer, who's given us the right to a fair trial. It's the veteran, not the politician, who gives us the right to vote. And it's the veteran who salutes the flag, who serves under the flag." Now, 101 years ago tomorrow, World War I ended at exactly 11 o'clock a.m. on the 11th day of the 11th month of 1918. After that war, Congress declared November 11th an annual holiday. Originally, we called it Armistice Day. Canada observes the same holiday, calling it Remembrance Day. But in 1953, after the Second World War ended, the name was changed to Veterans Day. And so today, the 11th day of the 11th month, we pay tribute to all American veterans, both living and dead, who fought so bravely to provide and protect our freedoms of our country. Now, the Army has a system called Battle Buddies. My wife and I, we serve in the Indiana Guard Reserve. There's a lot of veterans that serve in the Indiana Guard Reserve. And we practice the Army Buddy system. Both of us are instructors in training command. And so we get to instruct new soldiers coming in that have never been a soldier before. And we teach them this Battle Buddy system. You never leave anyone by themselves in a battle. You can't even go to the bathroom alone. You take your battle buddy with you. Because in a battle situation, you need that battle buddy. We all need each other. I need your faith and you need my faith. Sadly though, many churches today don't honor Veterans Day. They don't even honor veterans at all. Some are led now by people who have never ever served in the military. Some has been around someone that has, but someone hasn't too. They don't understand the depth of emotion associated with veterans. Still others don't celebrate because they feel that celebrating and honoring veterans is a way of celebrating war itself. If we honor the veterans, we're actually honoring the war. And I want to set the record straight because no, that's not what it is. It's not the same thing at all. War is from Satan, and it's meant for no other reason than to satisfy the flesh of some ungodly men who are in charge of a nation. There is no good to be found in war. But as much as we hate war, we are forever grateful for the young men and women who go in our place to defend us and to protect us. And they're willing to go to the bad places. They're willing to go where no one wants to go and to be apart from their loved ones and even die just to keep those at home free. And this is why we honor veterans on Veterans Day, to tell them thank you for keeping us free. Like I said, my wife and I, we serve in the Indiana Guard Reserve. Now, I'm a veteran myself of the U.S. Army National Guard here in Indiana. And the people we serve with are medical professionals, nurses, doctors, EMTs, paramedics, also of other professions as well. And we all are good at our jobs. But what happens is when a disaster strikes, our job is to go out and set up like a field hospital, for example, like you remember the TV show MASH? That's exactly what we do. And we go out and we help people. We do search and rescue and we do other things to help people in the event of a disaster. And we train for that. The military has a trauma system for MASH casualties. The lightly injured are called minimal because they don't need immediate treatment. The next level is called delayed because they need treatment, but it can wait a little bit. Then the next one is called immediate. This is the person that needs treatment now if they're going to survive. The final category is called expectant because the injuries are so bad, they're not expected to survive. There are a lot of immediate and a lot of expectant individuals in our world today. People who need Jesus right now because there's no other remedy. There's no other solution. When Dwight D. Eisenhower was president from 53 to 61, he received a letter from 8-year-old Keith Aiken in Trumbull, Connecticut. Keith wrote, "After listening to the news about the Cold War, I'm worried about the people in the world. I'm thinking it over. I have a plan. Get all the leaders together who want war, put them in a ring, and let them fight it out." 8 years old, he knows what's going on. I'm sure there's a lot of veterans today that feel this way. If you want to fight, you go do the fighting. You know, leave us out of it. War is a terrible thing, but yet it seems like war is inevitable in our world. Matthew 24:6 tells us, "You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, and see to it that you're not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come." Now, the Bible commentators, they believe Jesus is talking about the coming destruction of Jerusalem, which took place around 70 AD. But Could it be that wars are also a sign of the second coming of Christ? Possible. Revelation talks about that a lot, and wars do seem inevitable. Some aspects of war are never right, but regardless of the war, we must support those who are willing to go and give their all for our country. And that's why we honor all of our armed service veterans. To all the veterans, we owe a debt of gratitude because they were willing to go. They was willing to serve and to give on behalf of the United States of America. And all I can say is God bless you, veterans. Now, why are veterans so deserving of our honor? Well, one reason is because they were the cause to which they were committed. A veteran is committed to the cause of freedom. A veteran is committed to the cause of courage. A veteran is committed to the love of country. Long after a veteran has laid aside his or her military uniform, they remain the most patriotic, the most loyal, and the most committed Americans in this country. And for that commitment to a greater cause than themselves, they are deserving of this honor. You can't hardly go anywhere anymore without seeing someone wearing a hat that says they are a veteran, Marine Corps, Army, whatever. They're proudly displaying that. I was at Aldi's, I think it was. I've got a Christian Motorcyclist Association hat. It's got a flag on it and like this. And I think we was at Aldi's, standing in line. This little girl comes up and she says, "Thank you for your service." I'm like, "Well, that's nice. How did you know I was a veteran, you know?" And her mom comes up and apologizes and all this. And I said, "No, it's fine. It's fine." She says, "Well, your hat gave it away." I took my hat off. I looked at it and I said, "Well, this is the Christian Motorcyclist Association. But yes, I am a veteran." And she says, "Oh, I just seen the flag." And, you know, that's all they seen. They didn't see the emblem or anything. They seen the flag. And the little girl, she couldn't have been much more, maybe 5 or 6 years old. She recognized the flag. She recognized it as being a sign of a veteran. She's seen that hat before. Another reason veterans are so deserving of this honor is because the cost of the veterans, they're willing to pay. The veteran gave up their safety and their security of their own homes. They left behind family and friends. They suffered and surrendered their personal plans for any education or career. They suffered the loss of sight. Some suffered the loss of their arms and their legs. Some had their faces permanently scarred or grossly disfigured. Many sacrificed their lives. Many others will be haunted by the nightmarish images of war for the rest of their lives and those great costs that they have paid. Our veterans are deserving of our honor. Now, I know I usually start off with a scripture verse today, but I've saved it for right now, because in our scripture text today, Jesus pays honor, a great honor, to a military veteran, not because of his service to his country, but because of his faith in God. And if you've got Bibles handy, you can turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 8, verses 5 to 13. When he entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, "Lord, my servant is dying at home, paralyzed in terrible agony. I will come and heal him," he told him. "Lord," the centurion replied, "I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word and my servant will be cured. For I too am a man under authority, having soldiers under my command. I say to this one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another one, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my slave, 'Do this,' and he does it." Hearing this, Jesus was amazed and said to those following him, "I assure you, I have not found anyone in Israel with so great a faith. I tell you that many will come from east and west and recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into the outer darkness. Into that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Then Jesus told the centurion, "Go. As you have believed, let it be done for you." And his servant was cured at that very moment. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Now, there are two key points I'd like to mention out of this scripture today. I'd like to focus your attention, first of all, notice that the military veteran gave honor to Christ first. When he said when he entered Capernaum, the centurion came to him pleading with him, Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, terrible agony. After the Lord says, I will come and heal him, he says, Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word and my servant will be cured. This centurion was a military leader in the Roman army. The Greek word for centurion means commander of 100. While a centurion may have commanded 100, it wasn't uncommon for a centurion to have more than 100 men under his command. Later in verse 9, the centurion tells Jesus that he has the kind of authority that he has in the Roman army. He says, I too am a man under authority, having soldiers under my command. I say this one, go, and he goes. Another, come, and he comes. And to my slave, do this, and he does it. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but every time in the Bible when a centurion is mentioned in the New Testament, it's always in a good light. It's never in an unfavorable light at all. In Matthew 27:54, when Jesus died on the cross, it was the centurion who said, truly this man was the Son of God. In Acts 10:1, the first Gentile convert mentioned by name in the scriptures was a centurion by the name of Cornelius. In Acts 21, we read where some soldiers, including centurions, were ones who rescued Paul from being killed by an angry mob in Jerusalem. In Acts 23:17, we read that it was some centurions who and a band of more than 200 soldiers provided Paul with a military escort to Caesarea when he was brought before Felix the governor. Acts 27, when Paul and a group of prisoners were being taken to Rome, their ship wrecked off of the Isle of Malta, the soldiers who were escorting the prisoners wanted to kill all of them to keep them from escaping. But a centurion aboard the ship convinced them not to do it because he wanted to spare Paul's life. And it goes on and on and on where we see centurion always being mentioned in a good light, always doing something to honor Christ. And we next see that the military veteran gave honor to Christ when he says, hearing this, Jesus was amazed and said to those following him, I assure you, I have not found anyone in Israel with so great a faith. This centurion was a Gentile. And here Jesus is saying, he's not found anyone with greater faith than this centurion. No one in Israel could match up to this. And then he says, go as you believed, let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that same hour that Jesus said it. He spoke it, he said it, and it was done. In the verses that we see that Jesus does two things to honor this military veteran. First, he honored him for his faith. And then when he heard it, he marveled. And he says he had never seen such a great faith, not even in Israel. And there are two times in the New Testament that we're told that Jesus marveled at something. In Mark 6:6, Jesus marveled at the unbelief of the Jewish people in his own hometown of Nazareth. And in Matthew 7:10, he marvels at the faith of this centurion. Jesus hadn't seen faith like this at all in all of Israel. He had performed miracles in their towns and villages. He had taught in their synagogues. And yet the Jewish people still rejected Jesus. It was this Gentile, this military veteran, this Roman centurion who demonstrated an uncommon faith in Jesus, so much that Jesus marveled at it. The word centurion, or the centurion said to Christ, just speak a word, it'll be healed. Just speak a word. That was the faith the centurion had. He knew Jesus didn't have to go touch him or say a prayer over him or do anything. He knew Jesus. He had the faith that Jesus would say a word and it would be done. Now, we don't know if this centurion had followed Jesus. Maybe he was a secret follower or whatever. But he knew Jesus enough to know he just had to speak it. How many times do we ourselves, even today, fail to simply take Christ at his word when we say, well, I don't even think God can help me now. This is so bad. I am so deep in trouble that God doesn't even know my name. We simply don't have that faith a lot of times that the centurion had to just know that we can say, Jesus, we need help. Just say a word. It's done. Jesus says, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened. But yet, we very rarely ask or seek or knock when we are giving prayer like we should. Jesus says, if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be thrown into the sea, and it'll be thrown into the sea. But yet we struggle with our doubts and our fears. Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. But yet we worry ourselves sick over the silliest of things. Look at the incredible faith this military veteran had when he says, just speak a word and my servant will be healed. Not only did Jesus honor him for his faith, but he healed his suffering servant. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way as you believed. Let it be done. The servant was healed. Jesus is telling the centurion, because you believe, I have the authority from my heavenly Father. And because you trusted that I can just speak a word, that's why your servant was healed. So now let it be done for you. This is what Jesus is saying. The centurion's servant was healed. True faith sees the invisible. True faith believes the impossible. True faith receives the incredible. You see, the faith of a soldier is a great faith. And great faith will do great things. Great faith will heal marriages. Great faith can save families. Great faith can change communities. Great faith can start revivals. Great faith can save nations. We never will know how critical one soldier's actions were to save a nation. We may never know how critical our faith is to save a nation. There's a story told of one soldier who lived with the confidence, even as he found himself in the heat of battle. During the Korean War, one man was hurt badly on the battlefield of Heartbreak Ridge. His buddies were in a foxhole about 50 yards away when the man was hit by sniper fire in ambush. As the fire continued, other men discussed amongst themselves what to do. But since the sniper fire was so intense, to crawl out and bring their wounded buddy back would mean almost certain death for both of them. For a while, no one would move. The men in the foxhole could hear their wounded friend yelling for help. Then one of the men in the foxhole began to intensely look at his watch. He could not keep his eyes off of it. All the other soldiers noticed this and began to ask questions. But the soldier with the watch, he remained silent and focused on his watch. All of a sudden, the man with the watch, he jumped out of the foxhole. He crawled over to his wounded buddy. He grabbed him by the nape of the collar and slowly made his way back to the foxhole. All the while, the sniper's bullets are blazing around him. Both of them amazingly made it back and no additional injury. After the sniper fire died down, the man who saved his buddy was asked, why did you wait so long to go crawl after your wounded friend? He responded, he says, my mom said every day at this exact time she'd be praying for me. And according to my watch, I left the foxhole exactly the minute she started praying. Now, that's prayer in action. Now, we may not always receive answers to prayer in such a dramatic fashion as that. Sometimes, even though our prayers may also involve physical protection, or even the sparing of life, they may seem to go unanswered. But we have God's promise that the ultimate victory in this world, the one which guarantees us eternity with him, is ours through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. As we go forth today through this Veterans Day weekend and through tomorrow, let me encourage you to remember those who have served and continue to serve our country by seeking out opportunities to say, two simple words. Thank you. Thank them for their commitment. Thank them for their commitment to not only our country and our freedoms, but their commitment themselves, their faith in God. At the same time, give thanks to God and also Jesus for their willingness to serve, us every day with a spiritual freedom and eternal salvation we've got. And then be confident in your daily faith battles, knowing that you are equipped by God to be a faithful warrior that makes the difference in this world around you. I'll leave you with this thought again. Like I said before, it's the veteran, not the preacher, who gave us the freedom of religion. It's the veteran, not the reporter, who gave us the freedom of press. It's the veteran, not the poet, who gave us the freedom of speech. It's the veteran, not the lawyer, who gave us the right to a fair trial. It's the veteran, not the politician, who gave us the right to vote. It's the veteran who salutes the flag and serves under the flag, who gave us the freedom to proudly wave our flags. Today we honor our veterans, but we also worship Jesus Christ, our great commander in chief. And there are some things worth fighting for. Remember this: our freedom in America and our freedom in Christ. So God bless the USA, God bless our veterans, and God bless all the veterans of the Christian faith. That's our Lord's message for this Lord's Day, and I hope that you got a blessing out of it. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, because it is because the faith of a soldier, the faith of our veterans, that has gotten us through to where we are today. The freedoms that we take for granted sometimes are here today, and we don't know what it's like to be oppressed. But Lord, we're thankful for that we don't know that, and that we can continue to praise and worship you each and every day freely, thanks to these brave men and women that go over and sometimes pay the ultimate price for our freedoms. And so we thank them, Lord, and we ask that you be with us today as we go through the rest of the weekend, go through Veterans Day tomorrow, remembering why it's such a special holiday. We thank you, Lord, for all of this, and we say thank you, and we ask this in your Son Jesus' precious name. Amen. Go out this week, be a blessing, and be blessed, because the more you're a blessing, the more you will be blessed. Thank you all for coming. We'll see you all next week. Thank you.